Thank you for taking the ride on the Freedom Train podcast series. I'm your host, Joseph Ward, and riding with me is my good homie, Mr. Patrick Irvin. And you know, together we do our best to hold it down. Hey, remember, the Freedom Train is brought to you by PAX Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PAX Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And for more information, make sure you visit www.pactsinc.org to learn more about the organization. Click on the different tabs, especially the tab that says the code, so you can learn about the codes of conduct that they created. Also, make sure you click on the tab that says more, go down to the Learning Center, and click on the various tabs within the Learning Center so you can learn more about African history and different information that PAX Inc. provide. Once again, that's PACTSINC.org. Make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com to learn more about your different hosts, learn more about your different shows. Remember, our weekly show lineup every Monday, you get your Fix Sports Podcast, and the Fix Sports Podcast will return Monday, April 19th, so make sure you get that for Season 2. Every Wednesday, you have the Freedom Train Podcast series, as well as the live recording of Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones and Erica Tober. Every Thursday, you have Lessons from the Screen with Patrick Irvin. So tune in so you won't miss out. And coming soon, we'll have Tea Time Black Women Talk. So make sure you stay tuned. Say it again.
That's this Friday, Tea Time.
This Friday.
Coming live this Friday.
Okay, so it's going down this Friday. Also, this Friday, remember, you have the Office Hours podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. And Saturday, you have the On the Shoulders of Giants podcast available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. And bam, I remember the whole lineup this time, so I get a pat on the back.
No, you don't. Because you had started to forget until I interjected.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
The tone of your voice was that of closure.
See, Patrick, see you. You a non-believer. That's your problem.
I am. I'm a skeptic and a cynic. Yes.
Hey, whatever. Remember, follow us on Twitter, Freedom Train Net, Instagram, Freedom Train Network. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Subscribe to our Freedom Train Network YouTube channel. And last but not least, like our Freedom Train Network Facebook page. And we get it in. So, you know, we feel like being winners this Sunday. Ain't that right, Pat?
Hey, man.
Huh?
How do you get famous for sucking the farts out of women's buttholes?
Why did you ask that question? We don't care about Charlamagne today. All right? We don't care about Charlamagne today. Okay?
What we got? I'm sorry. You're right. I'm sorry. My bad.
You crazy. You the Charlamagne of this show.
Man, no.
It ain't bad. But today we in a winning mood, so we decided to invite our winner back. And so this young lady, Coach Erica Kamara, she's a 3-time state championship coach in girls basketball at FAMU High, FAMU Developmental Research School. She's a 3-time coach of the year, the 2-time 2A coach of the year, 1-time 3A coach of the year. She has going to the state tournament 4 years in a row. She's a graduate of Florida A&M Developmental Research School. She attended Miles College. She has a master's degree in physical education. She started her coaching off at Crossroads Academy in Quincy, Florida, where the winning tradition started, and it carried over to FAMU High. And she has been winning ever since she hit the ground. And so every year we like to have an interview with her, you know, get an update on what she's doing and get some encouraging words, because it's not all the time where you get to be linked up with somebody who is such a winner, such a great person, and somebody who has a definite long-lasting impact on the young people that she comes across, and she really, really, really cares about the young people, and that's why we like to have her on our show. So make sure you pull out your pen and your pad, get ready, get comfortable, get your popcorn, get your juice, whatever you need, get your mind right, put on your thinking cap, because we got Coach Erica Cromartie back on the Freedom Train podcast. So y'all get up, get down, get up, put your hands together for Erica Cromartie.
Thank you. Thank you for having me again. I really appreciate coming back to this every year.
No problem. We like having you. We enjoy speaking with you. We enjoy the energy and the information and the message. So,
hey, we got to add something to the resume for, you know, like when she come back. Because, like, right now she's four-time interviewee of the Freedom Train Network.
Right, and that's a record in
that
itself.
That is.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
Right, no other guest has been on the Freedom Train more than you, so you are now officially a resident of the Freedom Train podcast.
So I'm an honorary member of the Freedom Train.
You already know.
Right.
There we go.
So now we got to figure out what that means and what kind of perks come with it.
Hey, man, we got some gift cards. We got some.
Okay, I'll take it. I'm just playing.
Cornbread, all that.
Cornbread.
So, Pat, you know how we do it, man. You got the first question, man. Let's do this.
So I got a real question that a youngster asked me that I'm going to relay to you. And it's a serious question, despite my playful nature. But, like, you've been winning. Joe just gave us your resume of winning. How do you stay motivated to keep going and keep achieving and keep succeeding when you have arguably, you know, not ever experienced anything but success from a lot of people's point of view? Like, how do you stay motivated to keep doing what you do on such a high level and to fight off, you know, ego and being overconfident and things of that nature?
That's a really good question. As we talked earlier, this year it didn't have the hype that before had. You know, the 3 years before, it was kind of like people knew, okay, y'all got a good team. You know, we're waiting for y'all to do it. I know y'all can do it. This year, it was more so like you lost a lot of people. Some people graduated. What are you going to do? And I think that within itself was a challenge for me to be like, okay, you know, okay, now it's opposite. Y'all kind of count us out. So that gave me the motivation to kind of move forward, try harder, stay humble, and stay grounded so I could make sure I provide provide the talent for the girls. And so that gave me the motivation to work hard and to stay humble, because I had to not really prove, but I challenged myself with the team I had to push them further than they thought they could go. So I think every year is going to be a different challenge that's going to push you forward if this is your passion to do it.
Right. And like you were saying, as we were speaking before the interview started, this is a team that was constructed of different people from different schools, because you're in the position now that your team and your school is the one that people want to go to because they want to win. So it's
either they
want
to go to it because they want to win, or they want to beat us because we have been winning.
Right.
It's
right.
Both
but
sides.
But it's almost like you will be having that challenge of getting the team to sink every year. And it's kind of like Coach Cal at Kentucky or at these schools with the one-and-done culture, because
mm-hmm.
how do you continue to win when you know that you're going to get new talent and new pieces and you have to tweak your chemistry every year? So, how are you able to tweak your chemistry to get new people to buy into the system? Or is it something that they just automatically buy into because they know if I buy into it, I'm going to win?
No, like I said, this year was different because I didn't have a whole lot of my players returning. Probably about 80% of the team I had this year were new faces. So imagine that. They're coming from different areas, different philosophies, different backgrounds. So I had to get them to buy in into our system. I had some that, you know, were returning, but they returned in different roles. You know, they were role players having to now come in and step up and be like big time players. So all of that, imagine all of that, being young, being experienced, trying to get them going to get to the state finals, to me, I felt was a blessing, because you look at what we had, you know, 9 times out of 10, you wouldn't think we would get the place that we got this year.
Right.
And you mentioned that. I did want to ask you, and I mentioned it before the show, but, you know, I wanted if you could elaborate or go into more detail on either side, whether it happened or it didn't happen, the returning players that you had, and I think you even mentioned you had one player that had been with you from the start. How instrumental were those players in getting the new girls acclimated and up to speed on the philosophy and the system?
Oh, that one player was a tremendous help. I mean, because I say that for two reasons. One, because she had been in, me and her came in, I got the job, she was a freshman. So we came in high school together, you know what I'm saying? And then also the fact that she's my point guard, that really helped out too, because then she's a coach on the court, and then most of the time the ball is in her hand. Now I think if she played a different position, like maybe a post player or something, I won't say she would be ineffective, but I would say be a little different, because, you know, it's kind of like you have to wait for the ball to come, you got to wait for the guard to get you going. When you're the point guard and the ball is in your hands, you make most of the decisions. So that helped us out a lot. And then the fact that she is vocal, she knows how I am, she knows how we play, that carried us a whole lot this year. And at times, like I was telling her, I know you were tired, I know you were kind of getting frustrated, but she kept it going because she knew what it took to get where we need to go.
That's good. That's good, especially if it's a point guard, you're on the same page.
Right. That yeah, so. Mm-hmm. Because you can, like I tell people, it's to me, it's easier to have a good guard because they can create their own shot. They can get everybody else involved. You got a post player that's good. They got to wait for you to bring them the ball. They got to wait to get in position. You know, it's kind of, they depend upon a lot of things as being a post player.
Right, right. Now, that's cool. So I want to ask this. Aside from you being a great basketball coach, what drives you as a woman to be great in life and like as a community member? Because you could choose to wake up and just be selfish and just do you. You could just concentrate on basketball, just concentrate on just trying to get to the next level or just better yourself. But what drives you as a woman to be a better woman and a better leader within the community?
Well, because I can't do anything with basketball if I don't have people, you know what I'm saying? So I got to be able to deal with people, work with people, care about people in order to do basketball. It's not a sport that is just self-made. It's not tennis. I just go out and play it. I need people to play it. So in order to get the best out of people, you got to show respect to them. You got to treat them with respect. But I just like people, though. I like to see them successful. I like to see people doing what they love. So I think that's what drives me, because I mean, I teach as well, so I'm around kids a lot. I think that drives me to just see them be successful in any area of their life. So the fact that I just like kids and I just love the game of basketball, I just think all that just coincides together.
That's good.
Now,
that's
you
good.
Mentioned, you know, and we know that you follow basketball. Like I said, this is our fourth interview. We know at this point you know your stuff. I'm curious how much of your time is consumed by the game. And the reason I ask this is because you hear a lot of people saying that if you want to truly be successful at something, you have to be 100% devoted to it 24 hours out of the day. And then now you're hearing a lot of people saying that you need to make time for other things to be successful. Like, what's your philosophy on that, and how does that relate on into how much time you actually spend devoted to the game of basketball?
That's a good question, because I would say when I first started, like the first 3 years, that's all I was doing. Like, it was basketball, basketball, basketball. Even after the season, like, I was trying to find ways to continue to stay at the game. This past year, I said, look, I'm a, you know, as the season goes, of course, that's basketball, basketball. But, like, as of now, like, we started spring break. This spring break, I plan to do nothing with basketball. Like, nothing, nothing, nothing. So when I could come back to it, I'd be more eager to get going, you know, dive back in it. But I just feel like if it's your passion, if it's something that you love to do, you're going to give all you got in it anyway. You're going to find resources. You're going to try to get better. But at the same time, you need to have a balance, something that you can go away from it and come back to, something that you enjoy outside of the game. Because I think you have to have balance in life. But that's just my philosophy now. But some people feel like you got to dig in, dig in, dig all the time. But you got to be transparent. You got to be able to enjoy life, because at the same time, you'll be trying to just make a living and you will never enjoy your life. So I just try to balance both of the things into one.
So do you find it, or in the past, did you find it hard to convince yourself to relax, to find the balance?
Yes.
Was it easier?
Yes,
this year?
I did. Yes.
Okay. Cause I know,
but
for
I think
me,
as I got older, it helped me out.
Okay, so because, like, what helped you get to that point to say, okay, you know what, balance is important? Because you do, like you say, you do hear the stories of these successful people. Like, you know, the guy, I know the one main one, the guy Eric Thomas, he telling people he wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. People are like, oh, I got to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'm not telling nobody not to do that. But, you know, they're not getting the full layout of the person's life and the full story. But balance is important to be able to have fun. It's important. So, like, how did you, like, you know, get over that hump?
I mean, like I said, I think I just got older. And then, I mean, to each his own. Each person, I think, is different. Just that never have an outside life for sports and they enjoy it. But that's not me. Like, I had to, like, balance it out. I guess I just got older. And I realized that, you know, you still got to enjoy your life. Like, you still, sometimes you have to be a little selfish in order to give the best out of to somebody else. Because if you're not happy within yourself, of course, how are you going to, you know, help somebody else to be happy or be successful? So you got to, I mean, I just think to each person is different. But I do believe in balance to a certain degree anyway.
Right.
I wake up at 3 in the morning, but I go to bed at 9.
So, oh, well, that's different. You still getting all your 8 hours.
Right. That's balance.
Mm-hmm.
And I take a little nap every now and then throughout the day. So, you know, I'm with E.T. You got to wake up at 3 in the morning if you want to get their work in.
Oh, okay. Well, you and E.T. be up at 3 o'clock while I'm still asleep.
Right. I laugh. So...
You're good. I was curious, though. I'm always curious, kind of picking the brains of people whose job it is to coach and educate, and not just because their job is to coach and educate, but there's a motivational component that comes into dealing with children.
And oh, yes.
How do you, like, so is it true, you know, because a lot of times you'll hear coaches saying, you got to know this guy, you got to know that guy, you got to know this guy. How do you find times and moments in the games to motivate each one of the players differently? Like, has there been a game where you've had to go up to 5 or 6 or 7 different players and give them something different to spur them on? Like, how do you know to do that?
Because, see, when you're like, okay, especially at our school, I go back further than that. When I played, we had my coach, he didn't work at the school. He came over after school for practice. He worked at another school. So we didn't see him throughout the day. But now, being that I work there with my players, I get to see them around school. I get to see them interact. So I can kind of tell what pushes them, what drives them, what they don't like, what they do like. So then it goes over to the basketball court. I know, this girl, I'm going to have to, I can get her grill, and I know I'm going to get the most out of her. But this girl, I can't do that because she'll shut down on me. So it's like you got to know them as individuals before you can coach them on the basketball court.
That makes sense. Now, it do, because within the game, it allows you to put them in the best position to win, and it allows you
right. If I got a player who I know, look, she ain't really the type that want the big stage. She's fine at just getting the rebounds and somebody else shoot. I'm not gonna have her had a ball at the end of the game. Look, your shot gonna win. She probably you know pass out or something. But somebody who I know live for this moment can do it. The ball is in your hands. You're going to do four low. It's your time. You got it. And she ready. You know what I'm saying? Because she lived for this moment. You got to know right. your ball players.
Right, right. But, no, I mean, every great team has to have great role players. And
yep.
it's like it's kind of like if you look at, like, the Warriors right now, without that second unit that they have, because they got a great second unit, without that second unit, and those are people who are not going to get the spotlight, and they fine not getting the spotlight, but they
right.
know, I got to get my 8 to 10 points, my 5 rebounds, 7 assists, whatever. But it's everybody. Well, let me. How do you manage the egos, like, or even like some of the players? Let's say they come in with the expectation of being that person because on the team that they left. How do you manage those personalities?
You just have to make sure that they buy in. You know, like they feel like they're contributing to some part of it. You know, if you have it where they just feel like they're just there going through the motions, then you're not going to get, you know, the best out of them. But even the superstars, quote unquote, that come, you want to make sure they feel like they have their niche. Like, this is what we need you to do. You take care of this. Then we have other players to support that. But this is your role on the team. You know, this is not your team per se, but this is your role on the team. You have a major role. You do your part. We'll have other people to support what you're doing. So I think if everybody feels a part of it, if everybody have ownership within it, I think they enjoy it, especially when they start seeing the results from it. And that's all they need right there, because they see, dang, it does work. And then you'll get everything out of them then.
Okay. So, like we was talking about earlier, and I was reading an article in the Tallahassee Democrat about your team this year, and it was mentioning that you guys went into the playoffs with a 12-14 record.
We sure did.
But you made it to the state final tournament, and
yeah, but like I think I said before, I play anybody. Like, we don't care who we don't care if you're 6A, 8A, 9A, because my school
right.
is 3A, it's a small school. We don't care who our opponent is. We're gonna play you. Will we win every game? Probably not, but we're going to take something from that game we played against you to use for our season.
Right.
Like, Lil Wayne, Sante, show me my opponent. We don't care who we play. We want to get better.
But if that's the attitude comes from top to bottom, though, then that's infectious, because it breeds confidence within the players, because they have that attitude of like, hey, man, we here to play. You know, y'all bleed just like we bleed. You breathe out just like we breathe out. So, I mean, let's get it in. You can be big, you can be small, whatever. Let's get it in. But that made young people feel better about themselves, though. So.
Yeah. And we always tell our players, would you rather have a 23-1 record and lose state, or be 12-14 and be state champions? Which one you want?
Right.
Because the reason why I say 23-1, 9 times out of 10, you finish 23-1, you probably not playing the best competition. I'm just speaking. I don't know for sure, but you're not playing the best competition that you can play. So when you get to the playoffs, you reach a team that's pretty good that you haven't seen before. You don't know what to do.
Right.
But if all season you've been battle tested, you've been playing tough teams, you've been getting hit in the head. When the playoffs come, you're used to it. You understand how it goes. You can withstand it. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. So, well, let me ask this question, building off that. So, let's say, because you've been in the position where you're going into the playoffs and you have all the momentum. Everybody expects you to win. You are dominating everybody. How do you keep the team in line? And what's different versus going into the playoffs with a 12-14 record? Like, what's different? I mean, we understand the record is different, but what are you telling the teams differently, or is the message even different going into the playoffs?
Yeah, well, this year the message was definitely different, because this year I think it's been about, I want to say, almost 20 years since we've lost the district championship, and this year we did.
Right.
So it was like, look, you already the first team in a long time to not win districts, but you can't also be the first team to not win districts but still win state.
Right.
So it was like, which one you want to be? You can't go back and say we want to win districts, because you already lost it. Now, the thing you can do now is go forward and say, yeah, we might have lost district, but we're going to be still going to state. And so that's the mentality we had, and that's the message we gave them. Like, look, you can't undo what's already been done, but you can change what your future is going to be. And so, you know, they brought in the net because the game after that, oh, we had a brand new team. But like I was just telling my assistant coach the other day, I just felt like we just needed – it just wasn't our time completely for to win the state championship this year, because we had a lot of pieces that we still need to get more experience. We were missing, like, little key components that you need to be champions. But it was okay because it wasn't nothing that we just couldn't do. It just wasn't our time yet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be a powerful life lesson for those players moving forward. You know, the exact verbiage you use, you know, you can't change what's happened, but you can change what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Even to hear you say that, you know, it's like for me reflecting back onto my life and then looking back at my future, like you just made me have an adult moment where I was like, well, you know, I can change some stuff. So now that I'm done being deep, I can get out of my Barry White voice and go back up here to my normal high-pitched voice.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Joe. That was just like, I really like, you know, what you just said is something that we think about a lot. But when you hear somebody say it, especially in this setting, with you imparting that kind of wisdom onto your players after they're coming off of, I'm sure, what was a rough experience for them, and then moving on and getting them to turn it around, like that's extremely positive and empowering. That's good stuff.
I'm not going to get twisted. Were we upset? Heck yeah. You know, because, shoot, that's the first time in a long time we lost a district. But, you know how, like, you got to put on a face and you got to make sure you stay a certain way. And then I had to give support. My friends, like, kind of make sure I was good. You know, your support system. So they played a major role in that. But I just know we couldn't come in defeated. We couldn't, because I'm the first partaker. They see me coming in defeated, then I know they was done. So I had to make sure I came in a certain way. And it carried over because we won, like, what, 3 straight after that. And then, of course, we went to Lakeland and we lost that one. But, I mean, shoot, for the most part, like I told my coaching staff, I'm not disappointed in this team at all. I mean, they reached a lot of heights this year.
Right. And you were able to edge out North Florida Christian because I was –
Right. Yeah, we had to play them again. And that was another thing, too. I used that. I was like, oh, don't get it twisted. You'll see them again. You know what I'm saying? What you going to do when you see them again? So, shoot, they were like, okay, all right. You got a double back, huh? Okay.
So how many times total did you play North Florida Christian this year?
4. We played them 4 times. We blew them out the first 2 times by, like, 30. And then – the third time we lost the district, and then the last time we beat them.
Okay.
They go to state.
Okay. Oh, so, okay. So they beat y'all for the district championship.
Right.
Well, see, that's interesting, though. Like, but you were able to get this team to a point where they could beat one team that they saw 3 out of 4 times.
Right.
Now, that's good coaching. But, see, that's how you build dynasties, though, because, like you say, you're creating a culture. You're creating a mindset. You're creating a winning atmosphere. But you're also going to get the talent, because people are going to want their players, their children, to play for you because they know you're going to get the best out of them. So I know you already got your mind right, but being able to get ready to coach in the best of the best, because they're going to want to put their kids in that position to be able to become better. So.
Now, wait.
Yeah, they bring them. We'll coach them.
You said that they beat y'all to win district, but then y'all beat them to go to state?
Right.
Ha-ha. Ha.
Yeah.
Right, so which one you want?
Right.
Right.
Nah, I'm just playing.
No. Well, I can say it because I ain't coaching no way.
Right.
But I can say it. Nah, you can have your little district win. Go
right,
ahead.
Look at you.
We'll see him out. Hey, we'll take the state all day, baby. You can have
right,
the district. We
right,
go on the state.
Right.
In your
right.
face. Ha!
Right.
Sorry. Go ahead.
So, you have been able to garner a certain amount of support in this city that other people haven't. And you were able to build that momentum coming into your coaching tenure at FAMU High. And, of course, the winning ways helped to maintain that support. But the support is growing. So how does that feel to know that the city is literally behind you, and how do you remain in a humble place? Because you're a very humble person. So how do you not allow that to go to your head, knowing that the city is supporting you, people are expecting you to win, even though you may have some naysayers who may say, well, you're not going to do it this year. You come back and do it, but then you still have that group, that core group of people who expect you to win. So how do you not let that go to your head?
I think because the reason behind me doing it never changes. I think because I know I'm doing it for the children. That's not going to change. So being that never changes, my motive never changed, so then my outlook won't change. You know what I'm saying? I think if it gets to the point where I stop doing it for them, then I think I would change as a person. But the fact that that's the only person I'm doing it for, everything else that comes with it is just coming with it. That's it. Like, I don't do it for anything else. Now, I appreciate the support that we get. And, you know, so I also appreciate the negative, the naysayers we get too, because, you know, that thrills you too. That gets you to go forward too. So I take both of it. But I really don't even look at it that way. People come to me and say, oh, we's watching your team. We like seeing y'all play. That's great. I really appreciate it. But that's not why I do it.
Right, right. Now, that's great, though. I mean,
she remembers her purpose.
Right.
You say what now?
I was just saying you remember your purpose.
Right, yeah. And now when that part changes, then we're in trouble, because that means now I'm taking my eye off of what I'm doing it for. But if I keep, I just tell myself, if I keep doing it for the children, everything else will fall in place. And I think that's what some people do. I won't say any names or nothing, but I think that's what some people do. I think you start getting a little bit of the success behind it, or the notoriety, and then you take your eye off of what you're doing it for. And I think that's when the problems start to occur.
Yeah. So side question. Are you getting more offers from, like, other high schools or college levels for you to come coach now, because they see, like, well, you, like, legit with your talent and your developmental players?
I call it hot rumors. And the reason why I call it hot rumors, because I've heard it from several different people. But I've been hearing rumors about schools and colleges. But until someone gives me a phone call or I get a letter, that's exactly what they are, hot rumors.
Right, 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 right. Okay, because I ask that because you deserve any offer you get.
I appreciate it, Joe.
But you know, we say this every year. I've been seeing you up close and personal develop winning atmospheres and winning coaches since you were coaching the middle school team at Crossroads, who is still winning.
They're doing good. I see the boys right. Made it to the something.
Yeah,
they won
something. But they're still winning out there now. And you had a lot to do with that, because you've been there for a while and you helped develop that culture of winning. But that's you. So we know now that it's not just, okay, she got these players, but that's something that you were doing from the beginning. So it's really, really giving you your kudos, because you definitely deserve it. I mean, there are certain people in certain realms that stand head and shoulders above the others, and sometimes people got to be, hey, man, you got to, if you want to be on that level, you got to work harder, but right now you got to get
But you know what, though? I'm happy you said that, because I don't really try to pay attention to it, but since you said it, I'm going to say it. I was hearing, like, my first couple years, it's the players she got, you know, anybody can coach them and they'll be successful. I said to myself, okay, well, let's change positions. Let's switch seats and see if you would do the same thing with the players. Like, you have to coach these players. You just don't go out there and say, throw the balls out, you play. You got to put them in position to be successful.
Well, I asked this question. How many, and I know we probably talked about this in the past, but I forgot, but how many championships have like within the last 10 or 20 years, have Samuel High Girls Team won before you got there?
You did answer it before too. I know they won one in 03, and then they won one, I think, in 14 and 15, I think. But nothing like street, not three in a row. They didn't do that.
Right. So it was coming, but you was able to take it to the next level. So
I don't know that I would hold that as a, because like these are high schoolers, right? This isn't like the pros, where you got players that's been playing for 10, 15 years and this, that, and the third. I think it's a, and I could be wrong, both of y'all can correct me, y'all know more about this sort of thing than I do. If we was talking track or boxing, I'd be there, but sports like these. But in high school, I don't believe that you can just say, you know, the school was already this and the team was already that, and like every 4 years, you're getting an entirely new group, and beyond that, these are players that are still developing physically, still developing mentally. They still have to learn the game. They might have played before, but there are a lot of new things you pick up in terms of sports in high school that you didn't experience in middle school. So to me, like that sort of criticism on a high school level just really seems totally unfounded. Am I wrong in thinking that?
No, you're correct. And to add with what you're saying is, you're dealing with things that they bring to you off the court with their family, their backgrounds. You know, at professional level, you're kind of able to deal with it. You know, you have money to deal with it. But when you have amateurs that we have, you got to take account of all those things that can factor into a player as a high school player. So, you know, you're right on it.
Okay, thank you.
No, but that's real though. I mean, you have to factor in what the coaches bring to the table, what the leaders bring to the table, because there are a lot of teams, and I played on teams at Rickards that we had to, as far as the collection of talent, we had the best collection of talent, but we didn't have the best coaching, so we didn't win. Like, it's a total system. It has to be top to bottom, and if every component from top to bottom isn't working like it's supposed to, you're not going to win. You're not going to make it to the next level. So
yeah, everything got to coincide.
Right. So we know you are a great basketball coach, but you know, scrolling through social media and find out that you got talent. You got Pat. Hmm? I don't know if you know, but
I don't be
she,
on social media like that, so I don't.
But she be on the ones and twos, Pat.
She DJ?
She got
oh,
DJ.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yes,
so
besides
about, like,
basketball.
How you got into it?
If I'm not doing something with basketball, I'm doing something with music. Like, that is my passion. Okay. I can't sing a lick, but I'll try. But no, like, I just like music. Not all genres, but basically mainly R&B, hip hop, 90s music, like rap, gospel, a little gospel too. But I mean, any song, if I don't know it, I've heard it before, but I was asked one of my friends, you probably know him, Joe. He went to Rickards. Was it Tavion? I forgot how you pronounce
Tavion
his name,
Moore.
But he does the R&B social on Sundays at Play.
Mm-hmm.
And he had asked me if I wouldn't mind being a guest DJ. And at first I was like, oh no, you know. Then I was like, okay, yeah, I'll do it. I said, now, I don't know how to work the equipment, but I have my playlist. And so I did it, and I had the best time of my life. Like, it was really fun. DJ E-Zone, a local DJ here from 102.3, he was there, and we would, like, tell him our playlist, and he would play it for us or whatever. And me and this other girl, Sapricia, she went to school with me. We were kind of, like, you know, playing a song. She would play a song, like, kind of like battling. But it was cool. And then, too, like I said it before, it was something away from basketball. It was something that I could do to relax, and I wanted to think about practice, a game, a player. And then that Monday, I went back to it. But it gave me an out, at least for that weekend.
Right. Nah, but that's cool, though. So, like, because I was, like I said, I was scrolling through, and I saw it. I said, guest DJ Erica Camarda. I was like, oh, shoot. So she on the ones and twos.
It was fun.
So, but also, like, I was reading some of the captions. So is how long have you been into, like, putting music together, putting playlists, and, you know, kind of experimenting, playing with the music like that?
Oh, since I could remember, since high school. I mean, because I hung with boys at times, too, so we'll be playing songs and stuff. I mean, and I was in music things at my high school and a chorus and stuff. I just like music. Like, music is my pastime.
Right, just a good way to escape from everything else.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
I like the ratchet music, too. Like, I like all types of music.
Some of those songs do get you, though. I ain't gonna lie.
Some of them do.
I cannot condone where this conversation is going.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
I do not like little ratchet, yatchety, and UK 547.
Some of it is okay. I will say that. Now, some of it, okay, I'm like, okay, I don't know what y'all talking about. I don't get that. But some of it, you having a bad day, pick you up.
I like the instrumentals. Like, I do, I will buy an instrumental CD based off of the
beats.
Yeah, what I hear on the radio. I might hear something, and I'm like, yo, this dude is utter trash, but that beat is gorgeous. And I find the instrumental. So I get the little youngsters that, but all I hear is them messing up wonderful instrumentals. That's all
well,
I hear.
I agree with that. I'm part of that, what you're saying.
Yeah, you're not lying, but also, like, every now and then, one of them will drop a song, and, like, the overall message in the song, though, is, like, a positive mindset or that winning mindset that people should have. Like you know, I like Angola, like, that Every Day I'm Lit song. It's like, every day I'm going to step out and be live and be good at what I do, and I don't really have a problem with that portion. You know, I don't like all the lyrics, but, you know, that portion in the beat.
Yeah.
So. I ain't never heard that song.
But
and like now, like Drake's God's Plan, I like that.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. But see, also with you though, it helps you keep a connection with your players as well. Being true. Going on, because you got to still be able to communicate with them girls about something.
You gotta be transparent. You gotta be transparent, right? And see, like now and then too, like I let them have their little space. Like we traveling and stuff, they have conversations in the car. I don't get into what they're saying unless, you know, they're like, Coach, what you think about those? Then I get in. But other than that, you kind of got to let them, they got to find their way still. And you don't want to be overbearing so they don't bring stuff to you. We want them to bring stuff to us so we can help them through it. But, yeah, you know, someone be like, oh, I know you like that type of music. Yeah, no, I'm not 85 years old and I'm still young. But now some of the stuff they play, I'm like, I ain't never heard it before. I don't know where you get that from. But some of it I like, you know. And they keep me on up to date with the music sometimes.
I managed to turn it into a game with some of the kids I deal with where, you know, like they got this goal to find something from their era that I'm going to like. And so, you know, it's turned into an interesting game in that way. So, you know, like I don't completely shut down their music and be like, yo, that's trash. I don't want to hear that no more. You're stupid for listening to it. You know, like, I'm not like that. But, you know, they bring me something. I ain't never heard the Every Day I'm Lit joint. And at this point, I try not to listen because when they bring me something, I want to genuinely be able to vibe for it like it's my first time hearing it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, but I do feel what you're saying in that and not being overbearing and letting them and letting them have their space and being able to communicate. Like, all of that is real, and I definitely recognize that. So it's cool that y'all can listen to that music, though. I'm always entertained and amused and kind of perplexed at how people can hear music, you know, hear different things and enjoy it in different ways. You know, that's always – I'm always interested in the differences in people and their opinions and how they interpret the world. So from that standpoint, the music provides an interesting.
He went out.
Oh, he did.
Sonically, it's trash.
Yeah, you went out for a minute.
Did I?
But, yeah, but
I
we got
go
we
out.
got
y'all went out. I started dropping bombs.
No, but I can think I understood what you were saying. You were just saying,
yeah.
However way you can connect to it, then connect to it. I got this what you're right. saying.
Right.
I got a question. Back about the students in basketball. I know we was trying to give you a break, but I did have this question. So, with grades and stuff, like, I was watching, what's the Coach Carter? That's the movie, ain't it? Coach Carter.
It is.
Yeah.
How do you, like, would you have a season lockout or something like that if your players weren't performing in the classroom? Like, how do you make that and maintain that as kind of like?
Okay, I'm going to knock on wood against that because I haven't had that issue.
I got you.
I pray I don't have that issue. But then, too, like, I'm sure they had it, too. It was a movie, but I'm sure they had it. Well, you got to have a certain GPA anyway to remain eligible. Like at our school, and it's across the board, 2.4, you got to have at least a 2.0. So if you don't have that, you can't play anyway. But thank God I haven't had that issue with majority of my team is failing. Like, most of the time, they're either 2.5 or higher.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That starts from home, you know, make sure you can't bring nothing home. At the same time, you can't bring nothing to the court. Well, I do check grades, and that's what you're asking, too. I do check grades, and my school is small, so sometimes teachers will call me before they call the parents and say, hey, so-and-so skipped my class the last 2 days. Okay, I'll talk to her when she get to practice. And then I see that teacher again. How has she been doing? Oh, she's much better. Oh, okay, let me know. You know, stuff like that.
I got you. No, that's exactly what I was asking. You answered the question perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, but see, I know when I was coming up, you want your coach to be the last person to find out that you've been acting up in class for. Because, you know, you got that direct access to discipline, and I ain't trying to do all that extra running or push-ups or whatever you can make me do. So, now I get that. So,
Joe, you win the records. The coaches ain't care.
Right, but they enjoy punishing us.
That's because they were sadistic.
But still, we knew it was coming. We knew it was coming.
They're going to punish you regardless. I skipped school for like 4 weeks straight, and I went to track practice every day, and I ain't never had no issues.
Really?
Yes.
Hey, man, you got away with that.
I told one of the coaches I was skipping, and he said, and I quote, "Don't let me find out." I just told you. What you mean, don't let you find out?
Where you went to school at?
I went to Rutgers, too.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay.
Hey, man.
I skipped so much, don't nobody even know I went to Rutgers.
Gotcha.
Be like me, kids. If you listen to this, go to class.
So, you are a black woman who came up in America, in the South in America. And we know for all women, but especially black women in America, your self-esteem, your character, your self-worth, beauty standards, all these things, all these unrealistic things are placed upon you. And so you've been able to develop and grow from a young girl to a beautiful woman who is stepping out, doing her thing and inspiring others. But how did you learn to love yourself despite all of these unrealistic beauty standards? And are you using some of those lessons, or how do you use some of those lessons that you learned to help the young girls that you come across on a regular basis to really love themselves for who exactly they are?
Yes, and with my interpretation of how I view myself, that started from home. Like, my mom made sure we understood we were beautiful, we were intelligent, we were smart, and that we could be successful. So that had to start from home. And then as I grew up, I was around teachers, my friends, my surroundings played a part into how I viewed myself. So I think it goes back to that. You have to start from home. Your parents or whomever it is, your sister, your dad, has to tell you, look, you are beautiful, you are successful, you can do it. And then make sure that those girls stay in a structured environment that reiterates that, that pushes them on the right track. Not saying that you won't get sidetracked. That's part of life. But I think you have that core foundation that you were taught that you are successful, you are beautiful. You might sway a little bit, but I think you'll find your way back. And so the girls that we come in contact with, you try to make sure that they understand, look, even if it's not in basketball, you still can be successful. You can be the next nurse. doctor or lawyer, but you can do it. You just got to make sure that you keep your mind on track and then you stay focused on what's ahead of you.
So, because, I mean, it's a lot going on out here. It's a lot in this world that women, period, have to deal with. And I'm glad that you do have that mindset of, you know, the structured environment. Because I don't think a lot of people really understand about how important and vital that environment is. So
it is. I mean, I even though people clown about Fangai, how small it was and how we were, like, close-knit, now I appreciate it because I think if I was at a bigger environment, that would that environment was kind of, like, more diverse. I'm not saying I would be bad, but I would say I would probably be different because I'd be exposed to different things, not in a bad way, but just different.
Nah, I get you. I get you. Because, I mean,
people, what he said?
People, especially kids, have a way of masking their insecurities by picking on things that are different. I do remember people picking on FAMU High for the size of it and for various other things. You know, y'all had something that was closer to a family from what it looked like to me on the outside looking in. That I think, because I have a few people that I know that went to FAMU High together, and they're extremely close. And you know, you look back on that now, and it's almost something that, you know, it's like, damn, I wish I'd have had that. Maybe I should have went to FAMU High. So maybe I wouldn't have skipped so much.
You probably wouldn't have got away with it for a whole month because everybody would probably already know who you are.
Yeah.
For real. I mean, yeah, FAMU High was that small.
Nah, but I do think there is a lot to be said for smaller educational settings, smaller academic environments. There's a lot of benefits that can be passed on there, and the culture is so much easier to shape, mold, and control.
It is.
You know, I think that's a beneficial environment. I think we should be trying to shrink down all of our schools.
But no, not necessarily, because that works for certain people. I had some people that were in my class that didn't matriculate through because they said, nah, this is too small. Don't offer that much. I have to get a bigger environment. I need more options. That worked for them.
I can see that, I guess. I can see that. Mm-hmm. I think, for me, what I'm looking at is the personal touch of everybody knowing everybody, the teachers being able to recognize all of the students and not, you know, the school not being so large that they can only really focus on a fraction of them, things like that. But I do get the desire for more options, larger group of people to potentially find other people to hang out with. I do get all of that. I just, I don't know. I'm not an educator either, so my thoughts don't
matter. Yeah. I just say for parents, if it works for you and if it works for your child, then so be it. I don't care what school it is. But if they're saying, like, no, I need something different, or they're lashing out behavior-wise and stuff, make the change.
Right.
What you think, Joe?
I mean, I agree. You have to put the child in the correct environment. You have to kind of pay attention to the child, listen to the child, because they could be letting you know. Like me, I was bored in school, so that's why I missed a lot. I was bored. It wasn't interesting. It was hard for me to keep my attention out. Like, I tell you right now, my favorite classes were, and in this order, was lunch, PE, history, and after school. Cause,
not a class, Joe.
But hey, man. But I didn't have, outside of like that, the history classes, or outside, because think about it, we used to go to class to get kicked out of class, go in the hall to freestyle and crack on each other. So, you go to class to have fun with the people in class, not to do work. So, you know, that ain't why we done.
I ain't have no favorite classes. I hated all of them. Matter of fact, I bet my mom to let me drop out and get a GED.
But see? So you got to be able to listen to that and see the different environments and things, because you probably would have thrived in a vocational environment, though. So,
mm-hmm.
Well, see, my logic was if you let me drop out when I'm 16 and get my GED, I go to TCC with a GED and get my two-year degree by 18, have my bachelor's by 20, and be done with all of this and be able to just live my life. But she was like, boy, shut up and take your ass to class.
Yeah, she wasn't having that. She wasn't. Yeah, she ain't see it. Now, because my mom would have been the same way. So, but now I want to ask this quick question. So, if you could take three words to describe yourself, Erica, what three words would you choose to describe yourself, and why would you use these words?
Okay. I would say, first of all, passionate. I feel like I'm a very passionate person, especially when it comes to something that I really enjoy or want to do. Kind-hearted. I think I'm really kind-hearted to almost everybody that I come in contact with, especially my students. I think I kind of don't judge them. I try to reach them where they are and hopefully build them up. And the last one, I would just say sincere. When I do things, I sincerely mean what I do. I sincerely want to see you be successful. I sincerely want to help you reach your goals. So those are the three words I would say for myself.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Yeah, because, I mean, it's to me, it's important to know yourself. And oftentimes, and you know, because you work with kids all the time, you'll ask them what they like about themselves, how do they describe themselves, and they can't describe themselves, but oftentimes if you get around the adults around those kids, the adults can't describe these certain things for themselves.
Well, so that's so funny if you say that, because I was just telling my sister not too long ago that it's so important. I've been teaching, it's going on what, maybe like 10 years, not that long, but long enough to see a change. But I told her, I said, parent involvement is so important with these children.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. I mean, it's extremely important. You know, you can tell the ones that has a bad environment at home. You can tell the ones mom is really not there, how they are at school, and then you can tell the ones that has a great environment at home. Mom is very active. They're different kids.
Right. Nah, that's true. That's true. I mean.
Mm-hmm.
That structure does, like the home structure and all, everything, the foundation matters, the environment matters, and the people think that it doesn't, and that's why the kids don't necessarily get all of what they need.
One of the great things I think you did mention, though, and you've mentioned a couple times this interview, though, is passion. You'd be surprised. Well, you probably wouldn't. But even in working with adults, there is an astonishing amount of adults that don't know what they're passionate about. Like, they don't have a passion for anything. I've bumped into quite a few of them. And it's interesting when you hear that, because when you find your passion, it's hard to know what it would be like to live without it.
Right.
But it's interesting because I often think about kids. How many of these kids are growing up, they can't identify themselves, they can't describe themselves, and they don't feel like they're good at anything or have a passion for anything. How many of them go home to parents who are literally the exact same way?
Right.
That's
true.
Scary.
That's true. I mean, you definitely need to find what your passion is, because if not, you'll be going through the motions. You'll be miserable, and everybody else around you'll be miserable as well.
But all right, well, let me ask you this real quick before we get into our last question, since we're talking about this, because I think a lot of adults are dream killers because they are afraid, they are ignorant as far as lacking the essential or the basic knowledge, or they lack resources and things. But what's the best way to? What's the best advice would you give a child who's trying to communicate their dream to an adult who may not understand where the child is coming from? Like I was looking at something, and like the young lady had a passion to pursue this specific dream, and the relative was like, "No, what if everything goes wrong?" So what advice would you give a child to help them be more confident about talking to their parent or guardian about that dream?
Oh, you ask me or you asking him?
Well, you.
Well, I'm gonna say this. One of my friends, matter of fact, I just left her party yesterday. She's going to Texas. She's becoming a special agent. And the reason why I'm bringing this story up, because she has been going through this process for over 16 years.
Okay.
It was times when, I'm not going to be funny, I just was like, dang, you know, is this something you sure this is what you want to do? Because she, you know, she went to the academy. She failed a couple of times. But she stayed with it. She came back. She continued to work out. I mean, mind you, this girl has been going through this process since 2003. It's 2018.
Right.
But she stuck with it. Now her parents, of course, were like, no, you know, we don't want to see you keep going through this. You didn't pass it. Find something else to do. But she stayed with it. And I think once they seen her stay with it, they had no choice but to back her, because they figured, well, shoot, she's not swaying. So let me just stay with her and support her. And they did that. And just yesterday, I was at her party. She's going to move to Texas in a couple of weeks to start her dream job that she's been dreaming for or had a passion for since 2002.
That's what's up.
So I said to say, it's not probably going to be, as soon as you say it, it's going to happen. It's going to be times where you're going to really think, dang, is this what I really want to do? But I think if you keep going at it and they realize it's your passion and you're not swaying, then eventually they'll back you. If they don't back you, they'll get out of the way. But then when it happens, they'll come back.
Right, right. That's the most important thing, too. Like, I like that you said that, because that's important, because I try to convey that to young people all the time. They might not see it in the beginning, but let you be successful. Oh, trust me, they're mm-hmm. going to be right there by your side. So
yeah.
Don't act like you're going to be alone. Well, you might be alone on the journey as far as when the times are hard. But you're
the
not
hard
truly,
times
truly,
of
truly
it.
Truly alone. Mm-hmm. You're still not truly, truly, truly alone, because I think oftentimes we forget about the small victories that we have.
Exactly.
And it's been supporting you so long, you're kind of used to it, but that's still the support, though. So, okay. So it's time for our last question, and you know this is Pat question. So we gonna, you know how we set it up. Get our drum roll, please, and say Pat.
All right. See that? I swapped out the soul with the.
I see that.
Anyways, okay. So, if you had a chance, and this one's gonna be a little bit different, but. If you had a chance to spend the day with your 18-year-old self, what advice would you give? You know, like what would you teach yourself, and how would you invest in your future?
That's a really good one. My 18-year-old self was just going off to college. Matter of fact, I think I was in college freshman year at Miles College. At that time, I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. I know I was playing basketball and going to school. But I would tell her, don't cap yourself. When I say that, don't just look through a small lens. Be open, be wide open, because there's a lot of opportunities out there. And just take it for what it is. Keep it on go. You never know what can happen. Don't limit yourself. See the world, you know, in a broader scope, and just have fun. That's what I would tell my 18-year-old self.
Yeah.
Don't be so serious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that hindsight is a mug, ain't it?
You say what now?
Say that hindsight, like being able to look back and really.
Yes, because 18, I was nervous because I know I was just leaving Florida going to Alabama. So I know I was nervous.
Were you confident in yourself and your abilities as far as, I mean, I know you're confident on the court, but did you get to a point where you saw other players who were playing a little longer kind of question yourself?
Oh, most definitely, because I've been almost the same size since, 10th grade. I might have got a little bigger, but I'm not big at all. So when I got to college and I seen how big the girls were, and I was like, oh, wow. But my mom always told me it's not how big they are, because, you know, bigger they are, the harder they fall. Is this something that you can – it has to be something that you can bring that they can't. And I knew that they couldn't handle the ball as good as I could, so I knew I had it over them. And I listen. Like, I listen a lot to my coaches. Like, I really listen to what they tell me. I really would try to do what they ask. So I knew I had that advantage over them.
There you go. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that.
See that?
So, once again, congratulations on the season. Yeah, you might not have won state this year, but you made it to the state tournament for the fourth year in a row. You took a team who had a losing record, and you gave them a winning mindset, a spirit of winning, and they took that into the playoffs and fought very, very, very hard. And it's a testament to you as a person, as a coach, as somebody who is really looking to get the best out of the people that deal with. And we definitely appreciate what you do for the women in our community. Like you had a young lady who went to Louisville and helped lead Louisville.
Yes, Jasmine Jones. She's doing very well.
Right,
and I'm curious
right.
to see how they finish out the postseason. And then I have one that's at Appalachian State. I have one that's at Talladega College. I have one that's at Weber College. Hope I'm not missing anybody. Yeah, so, and then I have one graduating this year, and she hasn't decided where she's going to go yet. But, I mean, and that part right there, I enjoy seeing that, like, they're still successful. They're still doing what they love. And they're turning into women. So that's a
right.
good thing to see. And I thank you all, because I think I asked you on Instagram. I was like, Joe, we didn't win. Can I still be interviewed? And for you to say yes, that spoke volumes to me, because he showed me it's not all about the wins and losses all the time. Because in this day and time, that's kind of what people build upon. You could be a butthole, but if you're successful, it's like, okay, we don't care at you that you're winning. But to me, I think you have to be the same. You have to be good as a person and good as a coach. So for you
right.
to still have me on your show, I really appreciate you all for just even inviting me back, even the fact that we didn't win state this year.
I mean, we did you. We like you for who you are. Like I said, I tell
y'all. You ain't got to get all philosophical. She live. Just look, if you don't know what live means, go to the Black Dictionary and look it up. Erica
yeah.
is live. So you're going to be on the show. Every time you on the show, you dropping that knowledge. You kicking that shit, excuse my language. You lie. Hey,
I appreciate that.
It don't matter.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's just, but you know, we definitely appreciate what you do with the young girls, though, because that, to me, that's one of the most important things, because just being able to see what can happen when a young girl, even a young boy, but when young people don't have the right guidance, being able to see the path that they take. So to have somebody in the position that you in who is not concentrating on themselves, but it's really in for the children. You know, we got to be able to show love for that. And we created this platform for people like you. So there it is.
I appreciate it to the fullest.
I definitely as well think it's important to chronicle the journey of our people that are doing significant things. And sometimes it don't turn out the way you want it to. And that needs to be shown just as much
yeah.
as when it does turn out. So people need to, look, 10, 20 years from now, when you're coaching at, you know, maybe the WNBA.
Oh, speak that. Say that then.
Yeah.
WNBA has eclipsed the NBA, or at least is on level with the NBA, and you're this mm-hmm. world famous coach and this, that, and the third. People need to be able to come back and be able to say this is her journey, and you can hear it through the interviews that she had, through the conversations that she had, through the public discourse that she created. And as soon as you said Jasmine Jones, I thought it was funny, because I clicked on the article in the Tallahassee Democrat that they had up about her 2 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, about her going to Louisville. I think that's
mm-hmm. She's a good person as well. So as I said, God forbid, I hope she doesn't have any injuries, because that'll be the only thing I think that will, you know, try to stop her, because she's a good person, and I think that's going to carry her, you know, even with the basketball.
Right. That's what's up. Mm-hmm. But see, that's what we're talking about, the overall development of people to go on and be successful. So that's why we did what you do, and you always going to have a place to come talk and tell us about what you got going on. And like Pat said, we're going to continue to chronicle the journey of you and others who are making a huge difference in our community, whether it's with the young people, the older people, but you're making a difference. So definitely appreciate you. Tell the people once again where they can find you, social media and places like that.
Facebook is my name, Erica Cromartie. It's E-R-I-C-K-A. Cromartie is C-R-O-M-A-R-T-I-E. Instagram, I'm Miss E underscore Cromartie 11. And then on Twitter, I'm Coach Crow at FAMU-DRS. So that's how you'll find me there.
Yeah.
And my email address is erica.cromartie@famu.edu.
Cool. So thank you once again for joining us. We have you on here all night, so we ain't going to do that. But appreciate you, and we definitely look forward to having you back in the future. And thank you for dropping that knowledge once again.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. You all have a good night, and we will talk again.
Yes, ma'am. See you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah, if you want to be a winner, throw your hands up, Pat.
What up?
You want to be a winner?
Got my hands up.
There you go. Bow wow. Hey, man, great interview once again. She come with it. She be coming with us. That's why we like to have her on the Freedom Train, talk about it. And you know how we get down. So, hey, I'm Joseph. He's Patrick. Hey, we going platinum. So y'all make sure y'all be a part of this journey because we're going platinum. You're going to find out what that means, but we're going platinum. Ain't that right, Pat?
That's right.
Yeah, platinum. So Freedom Train Podcast Series, people, we love y'all, and we definitely see y'all next time. We'll holler.